It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a federal judge has deemed a portion of Wisconsin's right-to-work law unconstitutional. We'll learn more in a bit. First, the White House announced yesterday that it would impose sanctions against Russia and expel 35 Russian diplomats from the U.S. over the next couple of days. The move from the Obama administration is in response to evidence that shows Russian hackers had meddled in the U.S. presidential election and could potentially have had an impact on the outcome. Missy Ryan is with us now to explain the situation. She's the national security reporter for The Washington Post and has been following the story. Missy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So what kind of sanctions specifically are we looking at here?
So the United States has announced sanctions on two Russian intelligence agencies, a number of Russian officials, and then several other Russian individuals who are believed, all of which are believed to be associated with hacks and or harassment of U.S. diplomats.
And how are sanctions like this implemented? Kind of what are the nuts and bolts of it?
So this is run by the Treasury's sanctions office, and you know, it's a good question, and it's open for debate at the extent to which they actually will affect Russian officials and Russian institutions, because a lot of them may not do banking in the West in the way that, you know, might actually bite more from a sanctions perspective. But the idea is that they won't have access to funds, that they, you know, won't be able to do business with U.S. banks. And so the idea is really to punish them. And part of it is also is just sending a signal to businesses and to sort of shame the Russian government for what the United States has, you know, deemed to be this brazen interference with the 2016 presidential election.
So that part of this action might be a little more on the symbolic end, but there are also some expulsions that are happening as well. Quite a few Russian representatives in the U.S. are being expelled. Who is subject to that part of these sanctions?
So these are 35 Russian officials described by the United States government as intelligence officials who are now deemed persona non grata, meaning that they had to leave the country, I believe, in 72 hours. So presumably they're in the process of packing their bags right now. Yeah. And the idea is that these are people who were either directly or indirectly involved with this this activity, or perhaps just as a, you know, may have been unluckily singled out as because the United States wanted to take some sort of diplomatic censure action as well. At the same time, there's also a move that's happening to close two diplomatic compounds in the United States, one of which is this sort of country estate, a dacha, if you will, mm-hmm. in the eastern shore of Maryland, where the, you know, the Russian embassy in Washington is used for a retreat, and another facility that has a sort of similar purpose on Long Island.
So to impose these sanctions, President Obama broadened an existing executive order from 2015 that allows him to address cyber attacks. Once he leaves office, would then President Trump be able to simply rescind the sanctions?
Yes, he will be. And that is sort of the crux of the question here. You know, what lasting effect, if any, will this action have? You know, this was sort of unveiled to great fanfare yesterday and a sign of, you know, great U.S. displeasure with Russia. At the same time, President-elect Trump has repeatedly waved off the suggestion that Russia interfered with the election, cast doubt on the conclusions that have been reached, not just by the CIA, but also the FBI and other intelligence agencies. And, you know, American officials acknowledged yesterday when discussing the new measures that, you know, it's an executive action and it can be reversed. All of the steps can be reversed by the next president. Now, it would be difficult politically, perhaps, for Trump to do so, because there are a lot of Republicans in Congress who are very angry, members of Trump's own party, who are very angry about the Russian interference and who actually want the administration to do much more than it's doing now. They say that this is overdue. They've been pressuring the White House for weeks to do something. And so it would put Trump in a sort of difficult position of having to actually soften measures against Russia at a moment where there's a lot of anger, you know, from his own party.
Well, and it is also interesting because the president-elect has declined regular security briefings that are standard for presidents and presidents-elect. But at the same time, as you said, he and his staff have said that they haven't seen compelling evidence of the hacks. From your research into this topic, Missy, is the evidence there if someone wants to see it?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we don't have access to all the classified information, but, you know, it just based on my own experience in dealing with these kinds of issues, I don't think that the U.S. government would be taking the actions that it's taking and speaking so conclusively in public if it didn't feel like it had conclusive evidence that it could share with the president, this president or the next president, in a classified setting. And now Trump yesterday, again, sort of downplayed the significance of, you know, the Russian hack generally, said that, you know, the United States needed to move on to bigger and better things. At the same time, he said that he would want to have a briefing about it. So, you know, maybe this is an indication that he actually sort of coming to realize that this is an issue that he can't just blow off and that he needs to take seriously, given the intensity of the reaction in Washington, not just from the Obama administration.
We're talking with Missy Ryan. She's a national security reporter for The Washington Post, and we're talking about the sanctions imposed yesterday by President Obama on Russia related to cyber attacks during the 2016 election period. Now, the U.S. also imposed sanctions on Russia in the wake of Russia's annexation of the Crimea from Ukraine. Do we have a sense of how effective, if at all, those have been?
You know, they certainly don't seem to have deterred Russian activity in Ukraine. You know, they have seized the Crimea Peninsula, and, you know, there are Russian activities still occurring in eastern Ukraine, or Russian-supported activities. And so, you know, I don't think that if the goal was to get Russia out of Ukraine, I don't think that has happened. You know, on the other hand, the Russian economy is not doing well. I mean, I think that, you know, there's an argument to be made that it's better than nothing, but perhaps didn't have the desired effect. And so you could hypothesize the same thing about these sanctions, even if they were to be in place. They might not have a whole lot of real-world effect, but they do have some sort of impact in terms of, you know, calling out the Russian government and sort of setting the stage for a new phase in U.S.-Russian relations, where there's sort of a more open hostility than we've seen in some time.
Now, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced that he would not follow President Obama's suit and expel U.S. diplomats from Russia, even though Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and the Russian Foreign Ministry had actually petitioned him to do so. Was that a surprise that Putin would take the not very strongman approach that he often seems to favor?
Well, I think it's not so surprising if you think about the fact that we're only a couple of weeks now from 3 weeks from the inauguration of the new president. And so, you know, I mean, he can decide to do this later, but it, you know, it sounds like he wants to see how things are going to go with Trump. And, you know, maybe this is his bid to give the president an opening to actually, as we discussed earlier, reverse some of these actions in a way that would allow for a new stage and sort of warmer relations between Moscow and Washington. And so I think from that perspective, it's not a huge surprise, but I don't think that we should think that things are going to be rosy necessarily when Trump takes over. But certainly, given Trump's statements, given the nature of some of his appointments for his cabinet and his senior advisors, it does seem that he will at least consider a different kind of approach to Russia than the Obama administration has taken.
Interestingly, Russian presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov did say late yesterday, quote, "I cannot say what the response will be, although, as we know, there is no alternative here to the principle of reciprocity," end quote. So it sounds like, at least from other parts of the Kremlin, we're hearing that we might not be doing something today, but don't be mistaken that Right. We're not going to do anything. Are there any hints of what that might look like?
Well, you know, it could be, you know, it could be expulsions in the future. It could be, you know, other sorts of retaliation that happened in the covert sphere. I mean, U.S. officials have been very clear that they believe that Russia intends to continue to interfere, do these cyber operations, not just in American elections, but in European elections, in a way that would mimic what happened this fall. And so, you know, I think that the Russians are reserving a right to do something in the future. We can assume that both they and the United States are actively exploring, if not already conducting, covert cyber operations.
There have been suggestions from President Obama, although it doesn't sound like there's clear proof of this, that the orders for these hacks must have come from the highest level in Russia, meaning from President Vladimir Putin. Do you think that it's likely that this was directed by Putin, or that someone lower than that would have taken this very bold and, you know, fairly risky step on their own?
Yeah, it seems to me unconceivable that he couldn't have had at least some level of knowledge of this occurring. Maybe not right away, but certainly when it became such an issue and the response was so significant in the United States. And President Obama, I mean, I think I understand, it's understandable that they don't want to name him personally. That sort of ups the ante in a way that could be dangerous. But, you know, it's pretty clear what Obama and other senior officials are saying, that they believe, you know, they're saying that it was approved by the highest level of the government. And, you know, Putin is a leader who gets involved in all the big decisions. And so I think that, you know, that the real conclusion there is pretty clear.
You mentioned earlier, Missy, that there is a lot of concern within President-elect Trump's own party about the fact that it would appear that the Russians interfered in our election, not necessarily saying that it skewed the results by any means, but that there was interference and that there is a lot of concern. John McCain and others have expressed that quite directly. But then we have President-elect Trump, who speaks very highly of Vladimir Putin. We have the Secretary of State nominee, Rex Tillerson, who has done extensive business deals with Russia and has been actually awarded medals by the Russian government. Do you think that the Republicans, many of whom were not in favor of Trump being the nominee for their party in the first place and have made that clear, are they actually going to be able to have much sway in how this plays out once we're past inauguration?
You know, I don't think that the Trump administration is going to be able to ignore members of its own party in Congress. But, you know, Trump seems to, you know, sort of make a lot of decisions from the hip, or at least statements from the hip. And so, you know, with all sort of prognostications regarding what the Trump administration is going to do on of a number of foreign policy issues, I think it's just too soon to say. You would assume that he would want to keep members of his party in Congress in his good graces, if only to be able to advance some of his legislative priorities, but you never know.
And this weekend actually marks the 25th anniversary of the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the start of what was a warmer, if not completely warm, relationship with Russia following that Cold War. Is there some concern that we could return to chillier relations over issues like the cyber attacks and issues like the conflict in Syria?
Certainly. I mean, you know, there have been a number of rocky periods since the end of the Cold War. There have been expulsions in 2001 and 2010 of diplomats and some sort of, you know, moments of tension. But I think, you know, obviously the last few years has witnessed a significant deterioration in U.S.-Russian relations, starting in 2014 with the Ukraine activity. And the situation in Syria has, you know, sort of been a complicated one because the United States and Russia need each other and have had to have some level of coordination because they're both conducting air operations there, but at the same time, they're backing different sides. And we'll just have to see if that continues in Syria when Trump takes office. But sure, I mean, you know, it definitely feels the era of reset that we saw with Hillary Clinton and the early Obama years was not successful. And it feels like a new era.
Missy, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Missy Ryan is the national security reporter for The Washington Post. She shared the latest news on the sanctions imposed on Russia by the U.S. yesterday in retaliation for its hacking during the 2016 presidential election.